All right, a pleasure to bring you back with us here as we get ready for game two between the Padres and the Giants. By the way, Michael Papierski, who they got in the Dubon trade, is in the building, and he's on the taxi squad just in case Kurt Casale has some concussion issues from the game last night. Remember, Casale was taken out after a hard foul tip. Didn't return for his next at-bat, and Joey Bart took those two at-bats and struck out in both of them. So Papierski is here. He's a switch hitter. I know the Giants are excited about having a left-handed hitting catcher, and we'll see what happens with Casale today, and we'll see what the lineup looks like. Brandon Belt says he's going to be in the lineup today. He did not participate yesterday because his knee was drained and they wanted him to stay off it. I wondered why they didn't pinch hit for him late in the game. Joining us now, one of our favorites. He's a longtime Bay Area guy, and I did shows with him back when I first started in the late 90s, and that is Mark Gonzalez from Chicago. Mark, how are you?
Doing well, Marty. How are you?
Oh, we're doing great. Bring us up to date on what you're doing these days. Different things happening in your life.
Yeah, a little bit of everything. For the last year, I've been writing two columns a week for the Daily Herald, and recently started covering baseball on weekends for the Sun-Times. So very fortunate to do that and also pinch hit for the Associated Press on occasion. So staying busy, although I got to confess, I attended a wedding of my nephew last night in Marin County. So got away for a little bit. Thank you for the great weather.
Oh, we love it. We love having you up here and being part of the Bay Area. You know that. A couple of things happening in Chicago baseball. It's good to catch up because we really haven't caught up very much with Chicago baseball. Let's start at Wrigley. Yesterday, the wind is blowing out 25 miles an hour. And Josh Rojas, three homers. Peralta, two. I think they hit 11 in the game or something like that. How about yesterday at Wrigley?
It was that Wrigley summer day you hear about, although we haven't had much of a summer until recently. It's been very, very, very goofy weather-wise. We haven't had much of a spring. 85 degrees with the wind blowing out. Just been crazy. And you saw all the home runs, even one by Alec Thomas, a kid to keep an eye on. He was the number one pick of the Diamondbacks a few years ago. His father, Alan, used to be the strength and conditioning coach for the White Sox. We'll get to later. But this kid's got a tremendous future. Could have gone to TCU and been a two-way player. Chose baseball. I think he made the right decision.
Very nice. I didn't know that. Yeah, I saw him play for Arizona, and he's got a nice bat. And, yeah, very good. I didn't know that. Hey, Cueto pitched this week, and I did get to see that on TV. What did you think of seeing Johnny Cueto out there?
Terrific. Everybody's been waiting for him. You know, he had to get in pitching shape, a late signing, but he arrived at the right time because, you know, I can tell you White Sox fans are really, really anxious. They're getting nervous. We got plenty of season to go. They're only 3.5 out of first place, but they've had their struggles, and I think Johnny kind of stabilized things for a while. He's got a big assignment coming up, but so far so good.
Well, Bruce Jenkins said he pitches tomorrow against the Yankees in Yankee Stadium. How about that?
Oh, that'll be fun to watch because, you know, he's turned into the master deception, throws at all angles, and very effective. He's a craftsman.
Yeah, it was nice to see it. I mean, we've seen Cueto pitch here so many times and, of course, throughout his career. And to watch him sort of carve up the Kansas City Royals with every delivery possible and hesitation and this and that. He did get through six innings without trouble, so it's a good story. So the fans of Chicago have taken to him. I take that from your discussion.
Oh, yeah, and even before he arrived, they couldn't wait to see him pitch in a White Sox uniform because they've been a little antsy. They make no secret of the desire that Rodon should have been a White Sox for more than just last year, so they're really upset about that. They haven't warmed up to Vince Velasquez, who's, you know, let's face it, he's a number five guy, and that's it. But they expect him to be a number two, number three. That's not going to happen. And beside that, relief pitching's been well worked. Got to keep an eye on that, especially when you see a guy like Liam Hendricks terrific closer, but opponents are hitting 270 against them. So these are anxious times for the White Sox fan base right now.
Yeah, we saw Vince Velasquez with the Phillies and Padres. I would make him a number eight starter, not a number five. I mean, if honestly, he's had a couple of games for the White Sox. I can't believe it, but he just destroyed the Phillies in San Diego when he was pitching there. All right, Mark Gonzalez with us. Of course, he writes for the Daily Herald as well as other outlets in Chicago, and he's a Bay Area guy, so glad to have you, Gonzo, with us. Tony La Russa, he's getting close to eclipsing the great John McGraw in Major League wins as a manager. How about that? That's an amazing accomplishment for Tony.
Yeah, and these are hard-earned wins right now because they're only hovering around the 500 mark. Some of his moves have come into question with the White Sox fan base, especially batting Lurie Garcia third a few times. That really rattled the fan base. Tony's going to do things his way, and for the most part, he's usually been right. But great expectations for the White Sox after falling short each of the last two seasons. So, all eyes are on Tony, but the one thing about Tony is he always thinks the long game, long term, and he knows that you can't be so judgmental off one game or two games. It's a long season. He knows when the rest guys, especially Tim Anderson, that was a big topic of discussion on Tuesday when he decided to rest Anderson one of the games. And Tony, was ahead of everybody because he knew that they're going to play eight games in 7 days, all on the road. So he knew he had to rest Anderson, but that still rattled some people. So we'll see how that plays out. But Tim's probably the most valuable guy in that offense. So you got to think long term with him.
What a great hitter, an all-star for sure. Who are the all-stars on the White Sox? Who are the ones having good seasons so far?
I would start with a couple of starters, namely Lucas Giolito, who's really coming to his own, his second season being very, very exceptional. Uses all quadrants of the strike zone. Dylan Cease has really become a great strikeout artist with big, sharp curve, fastball. He's usually around 98 or so. Those are the guys I point to, as well as Tim Anderson, who's just a fascinating hitter, batting 346, including 500 against lefties. And he's not your typical leadoff guy because he does not walk. He attacks the pitch and usually gets a hit.
Gonzo, the kid from Northern California and Cal Vaughn, what's up with him? Everyone expected great things out of him. What's going on with Vaughn?
He suffered a hand bruise about 3 weeks ago, and it hit him really flush. Was on the IL, came back recently, taking some time to get his groove back. Prior to his injury, a lot of White Sox fans were wondering why that Tony didn't play him more. I think you're going to see more of that now, especially with Eloy Jimenez out for probably another at least 10 days. But Andrew is somebody Tony thinks really highly of, and I think his second year, you started to see him show signs of a better attack at the plate. But he's still got to play a lot more than he has so far.
Jerry Reinsdorf was such a powerful owner and still is, of course, the owner of the White Sox. Is he still involved to a major degree? I know he's up in his 80s now. A Brooklyn guy, he grew up in my neighborhood in Brooklyn. We actually communicated about that one day. But what about Reinsdorf? Where's he at lately?
Well, he's still hands-on to an extent. He's the guy that really, really pushed for Tony's hire and essentially did hire him. A lot of people are wonder why he didn't spend more money. It's been a big issue there, especially in the case of Rodon. Why didn't they spend more, getting another starter? One thing to keep in mind is Lance Lynn hasn't pitched this season. He'll be back in about 2 weeks, and it'll really fortify that rotation. But the chairman's still involved, still attends just about every game. So he's got his hand on things.
All right, well, let's take the streetcar and go north to Wrigley Field. What's good going on at Wrigley Field right now?
I think right now, with exception of yesterday, was been the young starting pitching. They had Stroman was on the COVID list, but a guy that's really blossomed for them has been Justin Steele. Struck out 10 last Sunday against the Diamondbacks. He's a guy that's been a homegrown guy. He's got a terrific future. I'm not saying he's going to be lights out, but he's a guy they can really feel good about, especially because he's homegrown and he's coming to his own. He's gotten over some elbow issues of the past. And I think the 10th strikeout performance is an indication that there are greater things to come for him. And the really high, this kid isn't up yet, but guys you're familiar with is Caleb Killian, who's been tearing it up at AAA Iowa, pitched very well. His ERA's under 2. There's some speculation that he might come up maybe as soon as 2 weeks to pitch one game of a doubleheader against the Cardinals. But this guy's been deluxe. His velocity's up to the mid to high 90s.
Wow.
He's going to be a part of their future in the rotation.
Well, what about Keegan Thompson? I love this guy. Now, long relief. Now they've given him a start. You know, years ago you pitched in long relief and you proved you could do it, and then you got the start. He's actually done that, and he's been terrific.
Yeah, you brought up a good point. The only question is, does he do that right-handed Andrew Miller role, or does he become a starter? He started a few times last year, had some elbow issues. They shut him down and brought him back in that multi-inning reliever role. He is really good. He's got a sharp breaking ball, throws hard enough to keep hitters honest. I would prefer him to be that right-handed Andrew Miller guy, but some people have pushed for him to be a starter, and I can see that. But, endurance is going to be an issue because he does throw that slider pretty high, and I know you and Bruce talked about that earlier.
Yeah, we like it's trouble when you throw it up that high. And I want to ask you about Rodon before we head back to Wrigley. Why didn't the White Sox bring him back?
I think there are a couple of things, and the Boris people know more about this than me. And I think there was a terms of a price in years that was probably more than what the White Sox wanted. And also, I think the White Sox felt that money that would have been earmarked toward Rodon needed to go in other places, specifically second base and the bullpen, with Josh Harrison at second, and then Kelly and Graveman in the bullpen.
Mm-hmm.
The jury's still out on that. I really like Josh Harrison a lot, but he's been banged up, hasn't really come through with a bat yet. He's had to play third because Moncada was out for a long time, and then the bullpen. Graveman's been fine. I really like this guy a lot, coming off Tommy John a few years ago. But Joe Kelly came back 2 weeks ago and really had issues with control. So the fans have been on him, but, Tony promises, told writers and the media and fans that, hey, you're going to like this guy at the end of the year. So we'll see what happens there.
Boy, good analysis. Good analysis of the White Sox. I could see why people are nervous after hearing the analysis, and you made me nervous about the White Sox. I can understand that, and, of course, the Twins playing good ball now. This is going to be a good race. White Sox have never really connected on all cylinders with all the players they have. So we'll see how that turns out. At Wrigley yesterday, a big deal with the Fergie Jenkins statue. Some beautiful pictures were shown, and Billy Williams and things like that. What was your take on that?
I think they really did a terrific job of turning that area into a statue, what they call Statue Row. And it's going to be a great destination for fans coming to Wrigley Field because they have the statues now all lined up. And they're going to have some interactive displays where your phone, you go to a restaurant, you scan your phone, you get the menu. You can do that with the statues and get a audio version of what each great did for them. And Fergie, I talked to him on Monday, and he couldn't have been more grateful for the honor. So really happy for him. It was overdue. He and Greg Maddux, they wore the same number. They retired that number in 2009. So this is another notch in the belt for Fergie, and well-deserved. I mean, you look at the numbers and what he did during his career. I mean, that was big boy baseball with him, Marichal, Gibson, Seaver, to name a few.
Steele pitches today against Bumgarner. I know you mentioned him. Are fans patient with the Cubs? Because obviously they've torn everything down and now trying to put it together again. How do the fans react to this?
Well, Cub fans, they love the hype. You can always tell the future with them. Unfortunately, most of their top prospects are at the Class A level. And that's why I mentioned Killian. He's going to be one of the first that come up among that new wave of prospects. And Brennan Davis is another guy, had a terrific game at the Futures game last summer, but he's been sidelined with a bad back. He was only hitting about 200 Iowa, but he's a guy that's going to really help them in the future. As far as the big club goes, I think fans have to be realistic that this team's not going to finish at 500. There's some growing pains there. Also, some guys banged up, like Nico Hoerner, who had a freak accident in San Diego 10 days ago and hurt his ankle. I mean, this guy was really playing well especially defensively, because there are questions about his arm strength. He checked that box off very well, but he got banged up, so he's missing valuable time. It's just been, you know, one step ahead, two steps back. So Suzuki had a great start as well, and then he started challenging with fastballs. He struggled with that, and then he had an injury as well. He's back now, but, you know, it's a learning process for him, but he's going to be a guy that will probably be a 2080 guy production-wise in the future.
Mm, boy, great report. Interesting summer coming up in the Windy City to see if these people make it and if the White Sox get it together. Mark, great having you on. I appreciate it. We love catching up with you, and we will catch up with you absolutely as the season unfolds. Thank you so much.
Sounds great, Marty. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, great to have you on. Mark Gonzalez, always a pleasure to talk some ball with him. Boy, yeah, they're nervous in the Windy City. I can see that about the White Sox. And the Cubs are rebuilding. They are, definitely are rebuilding. So Stroman is there, and they've got Steele, and there's Keegan Thompson and some other people. And Nick Madrigal is there, and Suzuki. So we'll see where it all ends up. All right, more coming up. Good day for baseball today. Rodon, Musgrove, Giants, Padres. Good games all over baseball today. We'll talk about that as well. So more coming up right here on the Sports Leader.